see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons.
Yes, sir.
Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome, family, to the Watchmen for Jesus program. This afternoon, my name is Thomas Gamble, for the time being. I'm going to change my name and go to the Bahamas and disappear in Jamaica or wherever, I tell you. It's getting tight. Getting real tight. No, I'm gonna stay right where I'm at. Keep on broadcasting, keep on doing Bible studies. I talked today about humanism earlier today. Humanism is the religion of Satan. He's using that to entice mankind. He always finds a way to find what's missing, what people need, provides it, and he controls them. It's real simple. It's called the dialectic. Family, call the dialectic. I'm going to talk tonight no matter what happens tonight, no matter what happens. I'm still going to talk. I'm still going to bring it up. You see, humanism, as I was saying, is exalting man above God or exalting man to be a God. And as soon as that's achieved, this worship of Lucifer, that's going to change. It's going to all change. And it's how it works. For the Albanians, they needed some kind of culture to be developed, some kind of country that they could call their own. They were Iridians, and they were always kind of like Romans. They were kind of like roaming around. Hitler promised them a land. He called it Greater Albania, Balikumtar. Oh, we like that. for Americans. It was liberty. Grant me liberty or give me death. Blah, blah, blah. They bought off it. Hook, line, and sinker. For the black Americans, it was enslave them and then come up with emancipation. They always find, they make it, or if they don't make it, they find out what that culture needs to control it. It happens every single time. For the Mexicans, Aslan. Chinese, Boxer Rebellion. Every culture has taken this hook, line, and sinker. For the women, put them under bondage. No smoking. You can't smoke in public. You can't vote. No voting, no smoking. Edward Bernays says, is it time now? Yeah, okay. Let's do it. Light up for freedom. Now you can smoke. Oh, yeah, all right. That's what's always been done. That's the purpose of it all along. They plan a century in advance. Gosh, it's frustrating. How do you get people to see this? It's just so darn frustrating. When you see it 100%. Masons, they're promised to be saints. They're promised to be supernatural. By each degree they go up, they get closer to godhood. Yeah, that's the bottom line. For the Masons, it's brotherhood, honest men. How do they even believe that? When they can't even trust their own people, how does this happen? When they see that they're allowed to lie for the greater good, don't they see that that works both ways? It just boggles my mind sometimes. Anyway, let's dedicate the broadcast. And tonight I'm going to talk about the Olivet Discourse and the fig tree, and we'll see where we go because, family, that's getting ready to happen. Maybe tonight if I was talking about gold bars or Ebola virus or something like that, whatever, I'd have a whole lot of people. Might have to run out of bandwidth. How to increase your money by tenfold by using biblical principles proven to be true, blah, blah, blah. Buy my CDs and DVDs at $9.99. There you can come here and buy. I'd be filled up. I'd be rich if I could do that. Now, they have that, biblical principles for finance, this, that, and the other. Family, that's not where it's at. All this gold they're buying, it's going to be confiscated. All that, you can't eat that gold. That gold just won't taste good. It don't taste good. Matter of fact, it's bad on your dentures because that's all they're going to have when they do it. When this thing goes down, I got my gold put in the market. I got my gold put up in Switzerland. Really, you got a really fast rowboat or a nice canoe? And a long way to go there because if you go by land, it's going to get mighty cold because that's where it's at. That's where it's going to stay. People are not seeing the big picture. So what's people going to need after this next crisis they invent, calling it fake World War III or whatever it's going to be, Ebola pandemic? People are going to die. There's no question about that. But after this next constructed event, what are they going to need? Well, the same thing they needed in 1921. 1921, J.P. Morgan organized a Great Depression. A minor depression. Cause panic. What they need? Need money, 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 freedom. Need security. 1921, the stock market just rose. You know why it rose? J.P. Morgan funneled millions of dollars into the stock market. Brought people in for 7 years. Crashed it in 1929. What they need? Money, security, yeah. They always feel the need. They create the need, and they feel it every single time. That's going to happen again. But this time, the way things are looking, they are showing their secrets. Elimination of the Illuminati. I've talked about this for 5 years. They're going to come up and say, we've defeated the Illuminati, we've got them on the run, all this and all that. Well, it just started this week. And the worm shall turn. But the little trick about this worm turning thing here, they got going on is the worm shall turn. But it's still a worm. When it's on top or bottom, it's still a worm. They're forgetting that part of the moral of the story. The worm may turn, but still a darn worm. That's the case here. So many people are going to be fooled. So when the next crisis hits, what are they going to want? Peace, security, and safety. And if disclosure happens and it completely upsets Christianity as you know it, that's why the Palmer was trying to bring everybody into back to the Roman Catholic Church. You see, trying to bring it back in. Bring in, for Protestants, we forgive you. Come back to us. Presbyterians, come back. Baptists, take your horns off and your teeth, put them back in. Or, just calm down, okay? But come on back too. Yeah. All you guys, come on back. We forgive you. Come back to us. Because they're going to crash it. And what happens when they crash? And this is documented. This is not an opinion. I got this formally documented in an Illuminati textbook called Signs of Christ, Herabalias. I've got it documented. This is their plan to re-spiritualize the Catholic Church. Now, when they're talking about this in this book, they don't tell you exactly what it is. But when you know outside of what it is, it's re-spiritualizing means falling away. Hello. And what are they bringing in? New Age movement. I talked about that in detail last night on the Revelation Radio Network. We're close. We're really, really close to the first seal. When it crashed Christianity as legalistic, not true, the Bible's false now. Well, I'm getting hit hard about the King James Bible on this Facebook thing. You're getting hit really hard. Really, really hard. There's the Jews want to take back what they lost. Well, they go get it till Jesus Christ comes back. But the fake Jews are trying to take it back because they believe, just to cut right down through the mustard, that Sanan Emmanuel, Yeshua, is their real Messiah they've been waiting for these thousands of years. They think that now this is the one. And they're going to get vicious. And they got to take down the King James Bible. That's what's coming. They think Sananda and the Antichrist is the one. Well, he's the one that's going to take them down. And God will allow the elimination of three quarters of Israel. He will kill off three quarters of Israel. It will happen. But that will only happen after the first seal is broke, peace and prosperity. And you all know already, in comes sudden destruction. That's kind of what we're talking about tonight, in a way, is the details. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together, Father, for us, that, Father, we can study the scriptures and the Revelation, the book of Revelation, the Father, for the what the Bible says is to come true. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have tonight. And thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son that, Father, you gave him for us that we may live with you forever. Father, we're praying for our families, Lord, to start touching hearts and that Holy Spirit to bring souls together. Father, give us the knowledge and the words to speak when we can't. That, Father, that you would turn us in the right direction, path. Give us the words, Lord, that are going to bring others to Jesus. Give us that humble, Father, that humble idea, the humble thought, the humble personality, the humble character, Father, that you'll keep us where we are. That, Father, we can do your work, and that will be done. Father, we pray for healing of the nation, a healing that, Father, will bring others to Jesus. And Father, we pray most of all for Jesus Christ to come back. These things we pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, that prayer can be said any kinds of ways. That's really kind of a guideline. It's kind of a catch-all. They ask him, how do we pray? He said, well, here's how you pray. Because the others are different too, see? In Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I believe it is. The Olivet Discourse. Is the name that's given to the orderly and extended teaching by Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. His subject was the end times. Now, it's documented, obviously. It's recorded in Matthew 24, 1 to 25 and 46. Now, he's talking about the end times. What, if any, participation, understanding of the Olivet Discourse of those listening to him that day do you think they had? They had absolutely no clue what he's talking about. They had absolutely no connection with it, except just listen to him talk about the end times events, Matthew 24. We're not yet even the end times yet. So, you know, this is 2,000 some odd 14 years ago or something, thereabouts. So he's talking about something that's going to happen 2-3 millennia later, because they would have no idea. You see, that's why people don't, that's what people don't realize is the Bible is written for us today or for that generation that was going to take, they wouldn't know about this 50 years ago. They've never gotten it right. In the 1800s, this is the time, this is it. No, it wasn't. World War I, the war to end all wars, this is it, this is it. No, it wasn't. So what's changed? Nothing. Except you watch for the signs of the times, where all those signs have come together at once. Now you got something. But even then, can you be sure of it? No. But I bet you will when it actually happens. I guarantee it gets your attention. Even when he gave the prophecy, there shall not be left one stone upon another. There shall not be thrown down. You're like, what? What's he talking about? I don't know. 70 years later, it happened. How many of those you think were there when it happened, were there when they heard the Olivet Discourse? Probably only the children. They didn't remember it. Because that'd make them about 70-some years old, wouldn't it? So even then, they had no idea what he was talking about. What's he talking about? Tearing down what? I don't know. This Bible is written for us today to look back on. But I guarantee you in 70 AD they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because they experienced it. You see? That's how it's going to be again. 10 years before 70 years later. 60 years from then. They didn't know what. 65 years. They don't know. 69 years. He had no idea. But those that lived that 70th year, well, they knew because they saw it happen. See? Same thing for the end times events. When men say, we got four blood moons is coming, You don't have a clue. Not a clue. The Bible's written in such a way that Satan can never know what God's going to do. He knows it's coming. He don't know when. And mankind, through their arrogance, humanistic ideas, humanistic principles, but arrogance, thinks they can figure out and outthink God. Still today, even Lucifer, who's supposed to be so intelligent, and fallen angels, still think they can beat God in his own game by using technology. Ain't going to happen. Discourse recorded, parallel passages are found, excuse me, in Mark 13, 1 to 37, and Luke 21, 5 to 36. And the record in Matthew's is the most extensive. No reference there to, will be to the gospel necessarily, just be to the all of it discourse. And in this discourse, the reference is to Israel, not the church of the United States. Christ is speaking of God's future program for Israel. And we ain't Israel. And we're not the new Jerusalem. I think that requires a study, too, of how the secret societies consider what's called New Jerusalem. I heard at one time along the way that Arizona was going to wipe out the older population and have Israel take over Arizona. That's what I heard at one time. Split the United States in half with water, Hoover Dam. Take out the Bible Belt with water. Split it up. Sounds like they're trying to move Israel, the holy city, to the North American continent, where all the salt and gold, diamonds, and everything in the West is located, where something or another might have washed out there through the Grand Canyon, I wonder. I won't go there. I'll leave that alone. Jesus' teaching in this discourse is a reference to Israel, not us. And that's the reminder. It's Israel that the focus is. When you're talking about the Olivet Discourse, you also talk about Daniel 9, 24 to 27. That's very important. Notice something. What do you notice about that? Which is pretty obvious. Actually, that's almost a trick question. Daniel 9, 24 to 27 is Old Testament. Now, what does that strike you right off the bat? When I say it's Old Testament, it has to refer to Daniel 24, 9, 24, 27. That's Old Testament. It's Revelation 22, 18, 19. Not to add to or take away from the prophecy of this book. Oh, you're just talking about that one book of Revelation. It's not talking about the whole Bible. And I would say to Elmer Fudd there, sorry, Charlie, but no, because you have to understand Daniel 9, 24 to 27 and other parts in the Old Testament to understand even the book of Revelation or Matthew. So the Bible encompasses a whole Bible. When it talks about it, Matthew 20, 18, 19, 22, 18, and 19, not to add to or take away from the prophecy of this book, or he'll add to the plagues, or take away your name in the book of life. God's not kidding. He's not messing around. When he tells us to do something, the smallest thing, and we disobey him, this man, he doesn't have a white lie and a black lie and a lie in color coding. You either lie or you don't. That's, no matter how small, how big it is, it's all still a lie, period. People mess around here that God's got a sense of humor. He'll understand. Wink, wink, chuckle, chuckle, elbow, elbow. No, he don't. No, he's serious about it. No deviation. You can't play around with it. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks. Tells you, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish a transgression and to make an end of sins. Family, that's the millennium kingdom. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Family, that's Jesus Christ. Not Sanand Emmanuel, not Yeshua. They're going to fool billions are going to be fooled by this. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people, for the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. In Daniel 9:27, there's the big key right there. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In other words, they'll start sacrificing animals when they're allowed, when they have a re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. They'll start sacrificing animals because that's in anticipation of the coming Messiah. It'll be the Antichrist. But he'll tell them when he goes into the middle, the mid-tribulation, he'll say, stop your sacrifices, because I am him. It'll be Satan. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the disconsummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It's a very powerful scripture, Daniel 24:9-27. Because that's a key for you to know that it's real. And you're not going to know until it all starts. In Daniel 9:24, specifically, "70 weeks were decreed for the people of Israel in Jerusalem, and fulfillment of the first part shows that the weeks are weeks of years." So 70 weeks, write this down if you want, equals about 490 years. There's a clue there. So what you're going to see is that 70 weeks are divided into 7 weeks plus 62 weeks. 70 weeks divided into 7 weeks. Not divided as in divided into, but divided as 7 weeks plus 62 weeks. And then after a time gap, 1 final week. And the time gap is when they rejected Jesus. That's her fault. Now they're trying to regain it. How? By Hebrew Roots Movement and Sacred Name Movement, combined with the Hebrew Roots movement to get back what they'd lost. And the tribe of Dan is at the lead because they got exiled early on. Tribe of Dan, you're talking Queen Elizabeth II and the Merovingian bloodline, 13th tribe. You see how desperate they are? They think they have it in the bag in Israel. That's why British Israel is British Israel and not separate. It's a fake Israel. And you have a fake Jesus called Sanan Emmanuel. You see how massive implications here? At the end of the 70 weeks, six things are going to happen. To finish transgression, to make an end of sins. The beginning of the millennium, who's put in chains and under darkness? Satan is. Who's causing all this today all around us? The signs, the signals, the rock and roll, the movies, everything. Everything around us, the seven areas I've been mentioning, where's that coming from? It's coming from humanism. It's coming from where? Satan and the fallen angels in the seven areas I've talked about many times before. And that increases the sin, gives you more opportunity to sin because of his influence. But during the millennium, God chains him so he no longer has that influence. So they're going to start, God's going to start, this is really, really, wow. Jesus Christ is going to start another core belief, another core education system. So those in the millennium that are mortal are going to be born into a earth that won't have these influences until toward the end. Then Satan's released. You see, so they will not have the opportunity to sin in that way that we do. They'll have individual sin because they'll be mortal, right? But they won't have all the opportunity to be righteous. 1,000 years of reigning, 1,000 years of living, of trusting each other, loving each other, helping each other, etc. And whatever, however it works out, they won't have this influence. That temptations will not be as great. You see how it works? So to give them the opportunity to make that choice, Satan will be released for that group in the 1,000 years to make their choice. That's the battle of Gog and Magog. Wow. Man, I tell you. So to finish transgressions, make an end of sins, begins 1,000 years. While that may refer in a general sense to all Israel, sinful ways has reference to the nation's rejection of Messiah also. The second advent of Christ is a remnant will turn to him in faith. And the nation's transgression and sins will be forgiven. That's the abomination of desolation. Those 144,000 preached to will say, well, you're right, I take him as my Savior. Now let's get out of here and go to the mountains or wherever they're going to go to be protected throughout the trumpet judgments. It's to make a reconciliation for iniquity. This is the basis for reconciliation is laid at Calvary. But it kind of refers to the time, which is still future. The believing portion of the nation of Israel will come into benefit and enjoyment of the finished work of Christ there in Jerusalem. To bring in everlasting righteousness. Family, you're going to be tested here on this earth right now. Don't fail the test. It's not easy because you're dealing with the flesh. You're dealing with the seven areas around you. You've got family members coming at you. They didn't even know it. You got financial situations. You got medical situations. God may have put this medical situation on you to humble you. Whatever. Between you and him. But he's testing you for what's to come in the 1,000-year millennium. Suicide's not an option. It's taking your life in your hands and not letting God put you in the right path. to the Holy Spirit. Suicide's never an option. But the everlasting righteousness also points to the second advent, and, as I said, the millennium. That's the finish. That's the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. To seal up the vision and prophecy. See, the main body of the Old Testament prophecy centers on the return of Christ to earth, but not in some UFO. The bulk of prophecies will be fulfilled at the end of the 70 weeks. We don't know when that is. Everybody just gets all in a tangle trying to figure it out and kind of divide each other and arguing all this. They don't even have an answer. It's to anoint the most holy place, too. At the beginning of the thousand-year reign, the temple described in Ezekiel 40 to 44, will be anointed or consecrated in Jerusalem. And then, and only then, the glory will return to the person of the Lord. You'll find that in Ezekiel 43, 1-5. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Shebar. And I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. And the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. So, you are to know and understand this from the issuing of the command to restore and rebuild Israel, Jerusalem. It's decree of Artaxerxes, 445 B.C., Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 8. And until the Messiah, the Prince, what that means, it refers not merely to the first advent of Christ, but more particularly to his death. And there will be 7 weeks now. 7 weeks. 49 years and 62 weeks. 434 years. Now the 69 weeks are divided into two periods. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The city shall be built again with plaza and moat, even in troublesome times. Jerusalem will be rebuilt during the first 7 years with public square, protective channel, but not without opposition and turmoil. In 926, after the 62 weeks, as after the 62-week portion of time, which is really the end of the 69th week, the Messiah should be cut off. And right there, it talks about the death of Christ. He was cut off. Sir Robert Anderson has a book called The Coming Prince. Quite extensive. It gives detailed calculations of the 69 weeks and uses prophetic years, and it allows for leap years and errors in the calendar and all this. They go from B.C. to A.D., and they figured that the 69 week ended on the very day that Jesus really triumphed entry into Jerusalem, and 5 days before his death. They brought right on in, accordingly. But not for himself, for literally, and have nothing. It may mean that he had received nothing from the nation of Israel or to which he had come. Or it may mean that he died without apparently prosperity. Or it may be a general statement of his utter poverty. He left nothing but his clothes that he wore. Gnostic versions say that Jesus was rich. That's Gnostic versions for you. And the people, the prince who is to come, the princes who come to the head of the revived Roman Empire. Some people actually identify it as the Antichrist. He'll come to power during tribulation. His people, of course, are the Romans. German, Italian. He'll then destroy the city and the sanctuary. So under Titus, they did just that in 70 AD. And about a flood. Well, did you know that the city was leveled by a flood and not one stone of the temple was left on another? Titus forbid his soldiers to put Herod's temple to the torch. But in order to get the gold, they disobeyed and thus melting down the gold. So retrieved the gold successfully from the between the stones. They had to pry loose the great stones, fulfilling God's word, Jesus Christ's words, that one stone be not put upon another. And then from that time there'd be war and destruction. And then you kind of move into Daniel 9:27. You know, that's the 70th week. 69 have transpired. They cut him off, rejected him, delayed it until this day even. There's a time gap between the 69th and 70th week that people don't like to talk about, Calvinists especially. They say that was 70 AD was the last of it. In this period of the church age, which extends to the Pentecost to the rapture, whenever it may happen, it's never mentioned specifically in the Old Testament as to whether it's a secret hidden in God or from the foundation of the world or revealed by the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. The principle of a gap is illustrated by the Lord and the synagogue of Nazareth. Kind of Luke 4:18-19. And he quoted, of course, Isaiah, the Old Testament, 61, verse 1. He left off the judgment of the second advent and the day of vengeance of our Lord, God. Isaiah 26:1-2. And in between was to occur the whole church age. So then, in Daniel 9:27 says, then he, the Roman prince, shall confirm a covenant with many. And this unbelieving majority of the nation of Israel for 1 week, 7 years. Now, what will it be? It's hard to say. Friendship treaty, non-aggression treaty, a guarantee of military assistance against any nation attacking Israel? Who knows? But in the middle of this week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, the Roman prince will then turn hostile toward Israel, and he will forbid them future sacrifices and offerings to Jehovah. And you know, on the wing of denominations, abominations, when you talk about that, you read Matthew 24, verse 15. He'll set up an abominable, idolatrous image in the temple. And he will command it that it would worship, be worshipped. And some think that, referring to the wing of the temple. But when you know about advertising today, and voice-to-skull technology, especially in Walmart, some stores, you can stand in a passageway or a aisle at Walmart in Stuart or Hillsville, Virginia. Anyway, you stand there, and when you cross across this aisle, you start hearing the advertisement from TV. Well, that's not remarkable, but what's remarkable is when you go past it to the next aisle, it shuts off in your head. What? Huh. So you go back and you stand in that aisle, you hear the commercial. Take a big step forward, you don't anymore. And they got a beam down that aisle that carries a voice. You get my meaning? Practice makes perfect, you know. Shall be one who makes desolate. He will persecute, destroy those who refuse to worship the image. Even until consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. What that means is, terrible persecution of the Jews will continue for the last half of the 70th week. It's known as the Great Tribulation. Then this one called the Antichrist, the Roman prince, the one who makes desolate, will himself be destroyed, as decreed by God, by being cast in the lake of fire, not by annihilation. Annihilation is really for some, in this case, would be a reward to escape it completely, eternal punishment. Well, it's not going to happen. So, this thing about the rapture, I call it the rapture fever, was actually talked about in 1 John 14, 1-4. You know, one camp says, there is no rapture. You got to go through the tribulations. Oh. It's a pre-trib rapture. Be taken off before anything ever happens. Uh-huh. Others say it's a mid-trib rapture. We'll go through the first five seals, six seals, and then you're taken out before the wrath of God. Next says, post-rapture. That really doesn't have a whole lot of scripture at all to support it. That somehow you're protected during the millennium, during the tribulation, you're protected, and then at the end of the 7 years, you're I guess, sainthood. Post, then you're taken up. But why would you be taken up and come back down again? Anyway, and then there's no rapture at all. So that's like five or six different possibilities that people still go into. What's the bottom line? Nobody knows. And if you were to determine it's a pre-trib rapture, so what? When's the tribulation? It's a mid-trib rapture. Okay, when's the tribulation? Nobody can tell you. So nobody really knows anyway. See, it's a waste of your time saying, well, you're a pre-tribber, get over there. You're a post-tribber, get over there. So what? It's not about that. If you're not with God, it won't matter anyway. If you're not born again, it won't make any difference what you believe. You're going to hell. That sounds very harsh to mention that, but it's true. John 14, 1 to 4. Let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse, let's see, 15, and go to 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but ye shall be all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, that thing is a little confusing for a lot of people about 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In that one, they're focused on the timing of the trumpets. As being the same and the same as the trumpet judgments. Oh, there it is. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. So in this one, the answer is the form of a mystery of sort. A mystery that truth, previously unknown but now revealed by God to the apostles, is made known through them to us. We shall not all sleep. That is, not all believers will experience this death. Some will be alive when the Lord returns, but whether we have died on or are still alive, we shall all be changed. So the truth of resurrection of its own is not a mystery. Since it appears in the Old Testament, but the fact that not all will die and also change of living saints at the Lord's return to something that's never been known before. And 1552, it takes place instantly. What happened at the Tower of Babel? He changed the languages instantly. What happened at the Sodom and Gomorrah? He turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt instantly. The change to take place instantly in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. The last trumpet here does not mean the end of the world, or even the last trumpet mentioned in Revelation. People get that all mixed up. Rather, it refers to the trumpet of God, which will sound when Christ comes in the air, those for his saints. And it does cite about every time 1 Thessalonians 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we shall are alive, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and deed in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. So, again, it's coming into a kind of a recognition when it happens. So nobody can claim, I am Prophet Gamble. I am going to tell you what's going to happen. No, because it can't really, because it's written such a way that nobody can do that, to hijack the prophecies, say it's their own. God's way ahead of them. Amazing how detailed that really gets. You know, the Bible does not teach that the soul sleeps at the time of death. The rich man and Lazarus were both conscious in death. I got into a little verbal back and forth the other night about soul sleep. I said, no. All of a discourse. I think that part about 1 Thessalonians 13-18, we're really good to cover at another time in more detail, just that one part, because there's quite a bit there. Quite a whole lot, actually. All the way over to 18. Yeah, we'll cover that in the Bible study, because that's the one itself. Matthew 23, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees concerning judgment. I got that hit twice today. You're not supposed to judge. Man, I can't judge anybody, but I can sure rebuke it. Here's what the Bible says, and here's what your preacher's saying. Here's what the Bible says. Oh, look, the verse is missing. Imagine that. Here's what the King James says. It's got the verse. How about that? I don't even see why that's an issue. It seems to be today really bad. Well, friend, we're coming to the end here, and I'm going to continue this tomorrow with all of discourse. But in doing that, it seems to branch out to other areas as I go along to be able, you know, to fully explain it. And I guess the bottom line is you're just not going to know till it happens. But when it happens, you say, aha. And to know the scriptures are true. That's the whole idea. But they are being massively attacked, let me tell you. Facebook especially. Man, they're going after it. And they're traveling groups of three, it seems like. And they come in like they're fighting each other or arguing against each other. They're really setting you up. It's that detailed. Oh, there's no doubt about that. Well, family, we're coming to the end of the program here. And tomorrow I'll continue on with the Olivet Discourse. And the indications of the last times, the trumpets, those things we'll talk about tomorrow night in Bible study. I mean, it's already their time. Already Tuesday. Tomorrow is middle of the week at quick. Amazing how fast it's rolling. Tomorrow, on broadcast, we'll continue on with the Humus Manifesto, but now even more detail. Right down the nitty gritty. Let y'all know that the radio sponsor, they're not sponsor actually, he plays our broadcast, he doesn't sponsor us. John Kirkler plays our radio broadcast and Bible studies randomly. Every new one, he plays them. And he has sponsors up there, he does, I don't, he does. He's got a business and so forth, and he plays us in his radio broadcast, a copy of his MP3s. We appreciate that. My website, watchmenforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus, and I use it mainly for my broadcasting. But I have studies there as well. Well, families, thank you all for stopping by, and we're right on the verge. I mean, we're there, but we're the first seal. It'll be the first seal when the disclosure happens. Now, if you don't have a disclosure, it's a fake first seal. It's a little complicated. It's going to get complicated. That's why you got to know your scripture. And be patient. And be ready to start witnessing to others, because when it hits, you're going to be busy. And probably targeted. But what the hey. Family will close, and we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And we'll finish up, hopefully, with the Humanist Manifesto, because that's what's running this country. That's pretty significant. So, we thank you, Lord, for tonight, Father, we come together. Thank you, Lord, for our Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for our families. And thank you, Lord, for the infirmities you've given me that slow me down enough to focus on what's really true. That, Father, you guide us, protect us, as we witness to others. Father, to heal families, we can't do it ourselves. Give us words to speak. People need to hear those words. Father, lead us in this end times through the deception to give us that knowledge, wisdom, and discernment to be able to see through the facade. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given us and to guide us straight. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, we're there, and I appreciate y'all coming by. Oh, choked up there. We'll see y'all tomorrow. And you know, it's who you are that makes a difference. It's what Jesus Christ did for us. It's what happened. It opened up those gates. Without that, we never make it. He's the one, not a preacher, pastor, rabbi, priest, or pope. Not a church, religion, or country, or flag, or no matter where you live, it don't matter. It's none of those. It's not a movement, not liberty, it's not any of that stuff. It's about Jesus. And his only holy word is the King James Bible. King James Bible. Whew, that's awkward. Family, it's clear. Because it's clearly on the attack to take it away. If it wasn't so significant, why even bother? Yeah, they give themselves away every time. So y'all have a great night. Oh, hello. Y'all have a great night, and then we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And that's who you are, my unspoken.
I know that look you're giving, like you got something to prove.
Good night, God bless.
I've walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes.
This is your watchman speaking.
You refuse forgiveness like it's something to be earned. Sometimes pain's the only way that we can learn. You can never fall too high, so fast, so far that you can't get back. When you're lost where you are, it's never too late. So much that you can't change who you are. You can change who you are. You believe in freedom, but you don't know how to choose. You gotta step out of your feelings that you're so afraid to lose. Every day, you put your feet on the floor, you gotta walk through the door, it's never gonna be easy, but it's all worth fighting for. You can never